Our scripture reading is taken from Hebrews 7, verse 22 through chapter 8, verse 2. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing him ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, defiled, separated from sin, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices first for his own sin, but then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmities, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is consecrated forevermore. Now are the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such a high priest, who is set up on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man.
Good morning and happy Sabbath. It is so nice to see each of your faces. And I'm looking at all the bright pink, and I see purple and all different colors going. I feel like it's spring, you know? I feel like it's spring and all these nice colors going. And it's good to see each of your faces. It's good for us to be in God's house. Amen?
Amen.
And, you know, we heard Joan's plea earlier. There are at least two individuals now that may not be able to come to church as often as they would like to. And so we don't want them to be left behind. We want to visit. We want to call, like she said. You know, just last night I was looking at it, and I saw something about shut-ins. I was looking at one of the Vestal Hills list. And I said, you know, it's time to really step up the visitation to go see some of these individuals. They're still a part of the church. And even though they can't come anymore, we the church need to go to them. Amen? And let them still feel a part. And by the way, how many of you have a bulletin in your possession today? I see some hands. Well, on the back, you notice at the lower section, it says, for the pastor. The person whose name appears below needs a visit, Bible studies, or other personal assistance. Sign it up. I will make the time. It's true, I'm pretty busy with four churches. But if you need a visit, I will make the time. I won't be able to just come visit. But if you write it down and put it in reference here, then I'll know that you'd like to have a visit. And I'll make the time for it. That's how we do it. We make the time for it, you know? Amen. So sign it on the back of your cards. Do you realize that 2017 is almost history?
Yeah.
We're fast coming to the end. I remember when 2017 started. It felt like last week. Time is flying. I remember when Y2K was coming. And everybody was worried about the bug. Y2K bug. See? Some of you don't even remember, but I'm refreshing you now. And well, since the year 2000 was coming, this is 17 years later. Time is going by. And the nice thing is, we're getting older. I didn't even get one amen for that. We don't want to get older, huh? All right. I'll qualify what I mean by we're getting older. The older we get, the nearer we are to the coming of Jesus Christ. It is true. So don't be fretful because you're getting older. Because you know what? Death is not a threat to the believer. Amen?
Amen?
And it's full time we get that concept where we are not worried about death. The truth is, all of us in this room will die if Jesus doesn't come soon enough. We will die. So what? We're going to die anyhow. Why not die in Jesus Christ? So as we, even when we die, I tell you, I did a funeral service, two Fridays ago, up in Cortland. And I met a guy down in Vestal, and he passed away. And I was saying to the folk, he died in Jesus, by the way. So I was saying to the folk, that's a coveted spot right there. Because he has finished the race. He can never sin again. The devil can never tempt him again. He can never feel pain again, Mary. He'll never feel pain again. And so when a saint die, it's kind of hard to understand it when you're going through the loss. But Psalms, I should say it right. Let me say it right. It's a book of Psalms. But when you're quoting one chapter, it's Psalm. You drop the S. Psalm 116 and verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." That's the text the Lord gave me when my father passed away 16 years ago. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Because you know what? When a saint dies, they can never sin again. They can never be tempted again. And guess what? Satan's power over a dead saint is forever broken. Only God can bring that person back. Amen? Amen. So that's why we should actually look at death with a smile. We shouldn't be fearful. Jesus has died and raised again for us. Amen? Amen? And so we don't need to be fearful if we have to die. Let's just make sure we go out with Jesus. Because with our hands, with our lives in the hands of Christ, we are in good hands. And he's coming back to claim us as his own. Amen and praise be to God. He's coming back. Christ, and I really like this graphic because it tells a picture for us, you know. It's nice and colorful. The clouds are there. Angels are there represented. Christ is there represented. He is coming back and he's coming very soon. Welcome. Welcome to God's house today. And it is my prayer that your faith will increase. Amen. It is my prayer that your faith will increase. Anybody remember this from our week of prayer back in the spring? It's free. You can read online. It's public domain. If you really want to enrich your prayer life, I am recommending this resource for you. And you notice I am still in the field of prayer. Because I sense that when we begin to pray as God would have us, mighty things are going to happen in our personal lives. And mighty things are going to happen right here at the Elmira Seventh-day Adventist Church. So let us become a people of prayer. Let us become each an individual of prayer, a person of prayer. Let us be thick with God in prayer. And so this is a resource that I am freely recommending to everyone. It's free online. You can access the material and it will really help you. You can just take your camera and take a picture with it. Yes, check this out online. Otherwise, you can just write down the name of the guy. You can look it up and you'll find it online. This will really encourage you in your prayer life. This is a guy that lived between 1835 and 1913. And I will put the disclaimer out like I did before. It is true. You'll find out that he was with the Confederate soldiers. But you know, the Northern armies that jailed him for incorrect reasons. And he was a little bit bitter. But he became a man of prayer. And he was a chaplain, by the way. He wasn't fighting the war that way. But if you want to learn to pray, this former Confederate guy will really lead you into prayer. So I'm freely recommending the material. I read it and it's powerful and I'm still reading it. It will really help you to pray. Really help you to pray. Edward M. Bounds. So today, what's our topic of study today? Living by faith in whom? In Christ, our high priest. Living by faith in Christ, our high priest. If there is anything else in the Bible that you will lose track or trace of, never lose this one. Christ is our high priest. And you want to anchor your faith in Christ as our high priest. And as long as you maintain that, it is impossible for you to be lost. As long as you maintain your connection with Christ, your high priest, our high priest, in a heavenly sanctuary, it is impossible for you to be lost. So I just want to say that categorically. Have you been exercising your faith in active prayer? How would you respond to that? How many of you engage in regular Bible studies and Christ-like outreach? How many of you are satisfied in your walk with Jesus? And how many of you today, now, have the assurance of salvation? These are things I want you to be thinking about. People with the assurance of salvation are excited about their faith in Jesus and they actually share that faith. But a partially empty church maybe telling another story. Could it be indicating to us that there's a growing trend of dissatisfaction with church today? Could it be? An emptying church may indicate a decline in the individual spiritual walk. And the Hebrew, I put it there, halak. It means the walk. Could it be that we are declining in our individual walk with God? But if you are dissatisfied today, the good news is God can help you. Amen? Amen. God is there to help. God will break up and destroy your disillusionment and your dissatisfaction. He will do this for you by guiding you to retraining and recultivating your faith. Did you catch that? God will guide you. God will lead you to retrain and to recultivate your faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is better than any medical doctor or dentist. And we go for regular medical and oral health checkups. But Jesus is better than them all. Amen? He is the great physician. And by exercising a living faith in Christ our High Priest, we will be overcomers. We'll be victorious. Jesus, I want to recommend him today to you as your High Priest. Our High Priest. Amen? He is dealing with our sin from his headquarters in the heavenly sanctuary. And let me say this, that you already know. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man, between the human and the divine. Amen. Amen. The only mediator. Jesus is the only one who can grant us eternal life. Amen. Jesus himself said in John 5 and verse 39, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. But these are they which testify of me." In other words, many people search the scriptures and think they can find eternal life in the scriptures themselves. But Jesus says the scriptures are a testimony about him, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. It is impossible to gain eternal life from the scriptures themselves. Did you catch that? It is impossible. But the Bible opens up our possibilities to gain eternal life. How? By getting to know the Christ of the scriptures. Amen? The Bible introduces us to Jesus. So when you search the Bible, what should you do? Look for Jesus. Look for Jesus in the scriptures. In John 17 and verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Amen? This is eternal life. So eternal life is to know the only true God. I could then ask you, when does eternal life begin? Now. Eternal life is to know the only true God, including the deliverer, the anointed, Jesus the Christ, that has been sent to us. So eternal life does not only begin when Jesus returns a second time. Eternal life begins here and now by our getting to know God. Amen? To know moves us beyond head knowledge to the glow of a heartwarming experience. Amen. Moving beyond head knowledge to heartwarming experience, where we experience God for ourselves. Jesus is our link man and mediator between God and man. As surely as we live and move and have our being, there's a heavenly sanctuary. Amen? Jesus sits there as our great High Priest and saves us from sin. Jesus is Jacob's ladder. You remember the story in Genesis chapter 28? If you start in verse 12 and jump all the way down to verse 17. Jacob was fleeing from a furious brother, and his brother had a right to be angry, but the Bible said, "Be angry and sin not." Amen? But Jacob was fleeing from his brother, and so he got to this place in that became known as Bethel. Beth, remember, is house. El is God. Bethel, house of God. And by the way, that's where Moses would later erect the tabernacle, and Solomon would later build the temple. Same place, Bethel. And so they fled. And so what happens is that as he fled, as Jacob fled, man, the man was tired. I think he was running pretty hard all that way, fleeing the wrath of his brother. And he got real tired. So tired, he used a stone, a rock, for his pillow. You know, you tried a pillow rock before? A rock pillow? I don't think you'll sleep comfortable in a rock pillow. But, you know, thank God he went to sleep and got some rest. And that rock didn't hurt him because he got a very good dream that night. And in that dream, he saw this ladder. The base was on earth and the top reached to heaven. And he saw angels of God ascending and descending on that ladder. Later on in John 1 and verse 51, Jesus says, from now on, you'll see angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Jesus is that ladder. Jesus is that link. Jesus is that bridge between heaven and earth. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. Jesus is our high priest. Jesus is our savior. Jesus is our Lord and our God. And when we give our cases to him, we can never lose at court. Amen? Jesus will deliver us. He's Jacob's ladder. Now, you no longer need to feel that there's a great gulf between you and God. Even when we dig ourselves into the worst holes, God has always made a way out. Amen? I have a witness this morning. Many times we've set our own traps and we fall in them, but God still rescues us. Amen? God really loves us. His love for us is amazing. His love for us is superb. And as we trust God, I tell you, we'll be saved day in, day out, and ultimately when Jesus returns. Paul has this to say about our living God. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 8, 1 and 2, now this is the
main point.
Now this is the main point of the things which we are saying. So, including Paul and the others, he said, this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. There are those who will abuse this teaching of Scripture and say there's no sanctuary in heaven. You can't find that in my Bible, amen? The Bible says there's a true tabernacle which the Lord himself pitched. No human being constructed it. And there, Jesus sits as our great high priest. Amen? He is ministering to us the benefits of salvation. You know, this excites me because Paul says this is the sum. This is the main point of what we're saying. We have a high priest who is on the throne of heaven. Jesus, our elder brother and divine human savior, is there for us. He is God and man at one and the same time. That's amazing. Jesus is the God-man. He sits on the throne and is there for you and for me. Jesus is there for us. Amen? He is there for us. As man, Jesus understands what I go through. You know why? He experienced it himself. And as God, Jesus has power to do something about my situation. How about yours? What is it you're going through? Do you think Jesus can do something about your situation? I want to guarantee you today, I want to assure you today that Jesus can and will do something about your situation if you give it into his hands. Amen? Give it into his hands. This makes Jesus my true minister, my great high priest in the heavenly sanctuary. And this is why I pray to Jesus. You know, a few weeks ago, it may be 3 weeks by now, you know, we went to visit someone in the Johnson City area. And as we sat down, this lady asked, you know, whether we should pray to Jesus. I just was asked that question this week again. This time, this is coming from Maryland. Someone is asking me, should we pray to Jesus? And so my simple answer is, go back to the scriptures. If you want, start in Philippians chapter 2. And see whether Jesus is God. Now if you find in the scriptures that Jesus is God, the entire Bible tells us to pray to God. Amen? Amen. So if Jesus is God, should we pray to Jesus? If the Holy Spirit is God, should we pray to the Holy Spirit? If the Father is God, should we pray to the Father? It answers itself. We pray to God. Amen? We pray to God. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, Paul says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with the understanding. You know, one of the nicest things in our prayer life is when we really recognize who the God is that we are praying to. It makes a difference in the way we pray. It makes a difference in the way we expect Him to respond to our prayers. Amen? It makes a difference. So Paul says, I'm going to draw this conclusion. I'm going to pray with the Spirit, and I'm going to pray the understanding also. I'm going to sing with the Spirit, and I'm going to sing with the understanding also. I know who is on the majestic throne in heaven. Amen? I know who that one is. As the result, I've been telling people who had great fear just before the last presidential election. People were worried who was coming to the White House. And I told them, be not overly concerned as to who comes to the White House. Amen? But be concerned with Him who sits on the great white throne. Amen. Amen. That is the key. People get all caught up and up in arms about political issues like that. And it's true, it's good to have your political preference and stuff. But if that is all, you're in a losing battle. We need to be concerned with Him who sits on the great white throne. Amen? He's in charge. He's in charge. And He's my friend Jesus. He's my prophet, my priest, and my king. Jesus is the great God on the great white throne. He's my Savior, my Lord, and my God. Jesus is my all in all in the heavenly sanctuary. Let's trust in Him and watch Him lead and deliver us. You know, in times like these, let us live by faith in Christ, our high priest. Amen? The storms are coming. They're coming. Have you seen how the flood waters ravaged Sierra Leone in Africa? Have you seen what Hurricane Harvey did to Houston, Texas? And my mother got out in time. You know, she was living in Houston. She got out in time. But have you seen that? Have you seen the destruction of Irma brought to the Eastern Caribbean and Florida? Did you see the devastation, the back-to-back 8.1 and 7.1 earthquakes brought to Mexico? Did you see it? How about the impending threat of Hurricane Maria? I have not seen this in my recent history. Four hurricanes in such a short space, and all made it to Category 5. By the time they made landfall, they might have lowered a little bit, but they all went up to Category 5. In 12 days, two major earthquakes rocking Mexico from south to north. The first one, 8.1, was 600 miles south of Mexico City, but it was still felt in Mexico City. And then on the anniversary of that 1985 earthquake, the very day 32 years ago, a 7.1 hit, killing hundreds of people. We are in some serious times. And don't think only these literal physical storms are coming. The storms of persecution are coming too. Are we ready? Are we walking with Jesus in the little things of life so when the big tests come, we'll continue to walk with Him? That's the question we are faced with. Do you have time then to be whining over minor things? Do you have such luxury to whine over minor things? Many people in those disaster-stricken areas juggle life between disasters. We live here in relative luxury. But a question I ask, when last have you praised God in tears of thanksgiving? When last did you realize how blessed you are and it caused your heart to reach out to God in tears of thanksgiving? When was the last time that happened to you? Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, and by the way, we seem to be in the book of Hebrews today. Brother Earl, I saw you read from Hebrews earlier in the bulletin. It's amazing. We're in Hebrews today. And never take it for granted when you see this. God is getting our attention because we didn't plan. And here's Hebrews again. Hebrews chapter 4 tells us, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens. Who is he? Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our... What's our confession? You can find it in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16. Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by the angels, preached to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's our confession. We believe in a living, real Christ who came as one of us and overcame sin to the uttermost. And that's why he can save us so much. Jesus' victory is our victory today. Amen. Jesus' righteousness is our righteousness today. And he gives it to us as we express faith in him. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Amen. Jesus Christ was tempted. He was harassed. He was buffeted. He was tested. He was tried. But in all points, he overcame. He never sinned, not even one time. Amen. As the result, we are encouraged. Let us therefore let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may do what? Obtain mercy and find grace in the
time of need.
No, do you have a time of need now? Paul says, come boldly. Come in faith. Come empowered to the throne. Cry with violence to the throne. That violent faith that will not let go except thou bless me. Jacob's wrestle with God on the brook, the bank of the brook of Jabbok. On that riverside, he wrestled with God. He says, come boldly to the throne of grace that you may find mercy and obtain grace in the time of need. Are you catching the picture? We do not see Jesus today. We did not see him living on earth. We did not see Jesus when he died, resurrected, or ascended to heaven. From start to finish, Christianity is about faith. Amen? Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Amen. Amen. We must believe by faith in this living God. And today we are talking about living by faith in Christ our high priest. All people have been saved the same way. By faith. By what? All people. So the patriarchs from Adam to Abraham and Job, they were saved the same way. All the people from Moses to the coming of Christ the first time, they were saved by faith. And all people from the time Christ ascended to heaven until now are saved by faith. Throughout human history, there's only one way we have been saved, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ. So some are trying to make it that people are saved by the law in the Old Testament. That's not in the Bible. Not the Old Testament that I read. All people of all time have been saved the same way. By faith. Amen? Armed with living faith in Christ our high priest, we become bold. We obtain divine help and we gain courage to face any obstacle to our faith. Amen? We get empowered for triumphant living. This is what God is calling us to. Now, the old covenant had a headquarters for dealing with sin, and we refer to it as the earthly sanctuary. Its services were very closely connected with the Levitical priesthood. Essentially, It was a house of prayer. God said in Isaiah 56, the second half of verse 7, "For my house shall be called a what? A house of prayer for all nations." So when you come to church, when you come to this house of God, the literal building, it's a place of prayer. Never put foot in this place without seriously praying. Amen? Amen. "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations." Have you prayed since you come to church this morning? I'm not talking about the general prayer. I'm talking about your personal prayer. Have you prayed since you walk into this house? "My house shall be called a house of prayer." And Moses' tabernacle might have looked like this. You notice the veil entered the holy place, and then another veil in the most holy place. The new covenant likewise has a headquarters for dealing with sin. We refer to it as the heavenly sanctuary. Even while the sanctuary operated on earth, God oversaw the earthly ministrations from his headquarters in heaven. But note this. 1 Peter 2, verse 3 to 5 says, "If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, keep coming to him as to a what? Living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious." Living stone. Come to him as a living stone. How about each of you here today? "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Be God's house of prayer. Each of us is a living stone in God's spiritual building. We must be cut to fit. To be cut to fit, God must chisel away the rough edges from us. But how? We are chiseled by the discipline of trials. Amen? Trials have their purpose. God calls us a house of prayer. But some professed Christians barely pray. If their life depended on prayer, they would be dead. No praying. How then are we God's house of prayer? By praying. That's how we are God's house of prayer. You make the difference in your individual lives. You turn to prayer. Amen? You become a person of prayer. Other professed Christians have their Bibles gathering dust. They don't open them. They claim to get direct revelations from God, and so they have neglected, if not altogether, abandoned their duty to read their Bibles. But I want you to stay informed. You read your Bibles. Amen? Thank God he sustains us in spite of ourselves. And now is the time to take God seriously. Now is the time to enter a covenant saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Now is the time to live by faith in Christ our high priest. Amen? Now is the time. The new covenant headquarters for dealing with sin is the heavenly sanctuary. We are living stones in God's spiritual building, each of us here. But the heavenly sanctuary of our New Testament headquarters, from which God oversaw even the ministration of the earthly sanctuary, is there. There, the Bible says, Jesus is a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. There's a real tabernacle in heaven. And I suspect it's pretty big. Because when I read in the book, early writings, and actually found a scripture that matches it in Psalm 68, which says, "The chariot of God are 10,000, even thousands of thousands." Psalm 68, 19, 20. Now we're told, through the pen of Ellen White, that in 1844, as Christ shifted gear from the holy to the most holy place, angels of God bore the throne of God on their shoulders and moved from the holy to the most holy place. Chariot of God, 10,000 times 10,000. Now, 10,000 people are walking inside that sanctuary in heaven. It's pretty big. It's pretty big. I look forward to seeing it. I don't know if God's going to discard it when this whole sin problem is over. So it might be discarded by the time I get there. But if not, I still will see it. Amen? If it's still there, I'll see it. But God is a sanctuary from which he's handling our sin problems. And this is what the Ark of the Covenant might have looked like back there in the earthly sanctuary. And these were the poles by which they were carried. Which is amazing that Ellen White says the angels of God bore the throne of God on their shoulders. Which the priests carried this Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbolic of the throne of God, where that Shekinah glory light would represent the presence of God. Amazing. They carried it on their shoulders. And we're told that angels bore the throne of God on their shoulders. Christ is in the heavenly sanctuary for us. By faith, Jesus' early disciples followed him to heaven. We too must follow Jesus there by faith, through the Bible and diligent praying. We must serve him intelligently and help others to the same. Now, you need to exercise your faith. The poor people in this world's goods are often served many lemon-like experiences. Amen? It's true. But add to your lemon a little sugar of faith and make God lemonade. Amen? Amen. God knows how to turn our bad situations into good ones. Your faith is priceless. No amount of money in this world can replace your faith. Take your faith seriously. Not only that, your faith grows with exercise. Amen? The more you use your faith, the more of it you have. Amen? The more faith you have. Stretch out your arms of faith and touch the very face of God. Move beyond the tang of the human and enjoy the glow of the divine. This is what Enoch did. And from day to day, he lived a triumphant life. Amen? And the time is always right to do what is right. Amen? Always right to do what is right. Ellen G. White says, Christ in his sanctuary, page 17. As a people, we should be earnest students of prophecy. We should not rest until we become what? Intelligent in regard to the subject of the sanctuary, which is brought to us, which is brought out in the visions of Daniel and John. We should study it. This subject sheds great light on our present position and work and gives us an unmistakable proof that God has led us in our past experience. It explains our disappointment in 1844, showing us that the sanctuary to be cleansed was not the earth as we had supposed. So this is where the Millerites went wrong. They had supposed that the earth was the sanctuary to be cleansed, as we had supposed, but that Christ then entered into the most holy apartment of the heavenly sanctuary and is there performing the closing work of his priestly office in fulfillment of the words of the angel to the prophet Daniel, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. So if you don't know anything else about the 2300 days prophecy of Daniel 8:14, you can know that Jesus is in heaven as our high priest and is finishing up the last work as mediator between an offended God and guilty humans. Jesus is there to make us right. Jesus is there to make us righteous. Jesus is there to make us holy. Jesus is there to make us modern day disciples of his. Amen? He's there ministering for us. Now, Daniel 8:14 is the undergirding. It's the main text of Adventism. It is a pivotal text that was studied and gave rise to our unique position among Christian denominations. Christ's ministry was complete at the cross, but it was not completed. Jesus left earth for heaven. When he got there, he had more business to take care of on our behalf. Amen? The Bible brings to view Jesus' ministry there. Hebrews describes our hope in Christ and his role in the heavenly sanctuary. It said, this hope we have as what? Yeah, we sing this song. We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, grounded firm and deep in the Savior's love. It says, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us. Who is he? Even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And I don't know if I told you before, Melchizedek, it's a compound Hebrew word, the joining of two words. Malak, which is like where Malachi comes from. Malachi means my king. Malak is the Hebrew word for king. And Zadik is the Hebrew word for righteousness. So that's why in the chapter later on you read, I don't put it up there, but it means king of righteousness. Melchizedek. Malek, king. Zadik, righteousness. So Jesus, our forerunner, has entered heaven for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. And here's another view of what the Ark of the Covenant might have looked like. In heaven, these are not statues now, though. These are not gold statues, golden statues. These are real cherubim. And by the way, in heaven, Lucifer held one of these positions. That's where he fell from. The guy was that close to God. And that's why, you know, Mary said this morning in Sabbath school that the devil is chasing her. He's chasing all of us. Because the guy was right here, right by the throne of God. And he knows we're going to take his spot. So he doesn't like us. Amen? We won't necessarily be a cherubim or a cherub. We won't necessarily be one of those. But we will be with God. And he doesn't like that. We will be in heaven. He doesn't like that. So that's why he's after us. We're going to take his place up in heaven. Anybody plan to be there? Anybody planning on heaven? Amen. Praise be to God. Our high priest is paving the way for us to be there. Amen? Christ is there for us. Jesus is our high priest. Remember in Old Testament times or in the Bible, a prophet represents God before the people, while a priest represents people before God. Two separate roles. But like Melchizedek, Jesus holds a distinguished title of being prophet and priest and also king, the Lion of Judah. Jesus is our all in all. Amen? Yes, my friends, there it is. Women, the truth is, you no longer need a priest to speak with God for you. Aren't you excited? Yes. Men, you no longer need a priest to speak with God for you. Amen? Children, you no longer need to wait on mom or dad to speak with God for you. Amen? You can pray to God for yourselves. This is a wonderful privilege. Amen? All because of Jesus. Of all the things religion, particularly elements of Christianity, has done to hurt God and his cause, priestcraft is the most ghastly. Even within the Adventist movement, the danger that priestcraft poses is underestimated. I'm going to the prophet. And that's my favorite book outside of the Bible, The Great Controversy, page 567, like you're counting, right? That's an easy page to remember, 567. The church's claim to the right to pardon causes the Romanist to feel at liberty to sin. And the ordinance of confession, without which her pardon is not granted, tends also to give license to evil. He who kneels before a fallen man and opens in confession the secret thoughts and imaginations of his heart is debasing his manhood. In a modern way, that person is debasing his or her humanity to kneel before another human being to confess your sin. He's debasing his manhood and degrading every noble instinct of his soul. No, that's serious. In unfolding the sins of his life to a priest, an erring, sinful mortal, and too often corrupted with wine and licentiousness, his standard of character is lowered, and he is defiled in consequence. It is more palatable to human nature to do penance. And by the way, every Easter, if you follow the news, you can see it in the Philippines. I almost said the Philistines. But almost every Easter, you can see it in the Philippines, where these guys walk down the street, they strip, they go shirtless, and they walk with whips, and they whip their backs doing penance. It is more palatable to human nature to do penance. And by the way, that's what Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, he was doing penance, climbing, supposedly, St. Peter's staircase in Rome. He was going up on his knees, doing penance, when he heard that voice, "The just shall live by faith." And that's what completely turned him to the scriptures, eventually finding the Christ of the scriptures, and became the powerful reformer he was. He was doing penance. It is more palatable to human nature to do penance than to renounce sin. It is easier to mortify the flesh, like those guys do over in the Philippines. It is easier to mortify the flesh by sackcloth and nettles. There it is, nettles. And galling chains than to crucify fleshly lusts. Heavy is the yoke which the carnal heart is willing to bear rather than bow to the yoke of Christ. First Peter says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own peculiar people." And by the way, Peter was addressing the church. Today, you, the church, you are a chosen generation. You are God's royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's own special people, that you may proclaim God's praises, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's the privilege you and I have today. We now celebrate the priesthood of all believers. And greater still, we celebrate the headship of Christ. Amen? He's our high priest. Yeshua HaMashiach, our deliverer, the anointed. Jesus the Christ is our high priest. Go to him. Amen? Go to Jesus today. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 5 to the first half of verse 7 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man whom? Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, for which I was appointed a preacher. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become an high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." To whichever veil this allusion was made, whether to the veil at the entrance of the Israelite sanctuary or the veil separating the holy from the most holy place, we have reason to rejoice. Amen? Christ is risen and he is there for us. Praise be to God. Jesus is there for us as our high priest. So when your soul is burdened with guilt, when your mind is filled with sin, when your soul is burdened with grief, when your mind is filled with anguish, what should you do? Flee to Jesus, amen? He is alive forevermore. He will intervene for us. Hebrews 7 says, "By so much more You know, we have this word here, surety. Somebody give me a modern day word for that one. Surety. Assured. That's one. When you go to the bank and you want to get a loan, they ask you for collaterals. Right? You want to get that big loan. It says, Jesus is our guarantee. Jesus is our collateral, if we want to use that term. Jesus is there for us. He's our surety. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety. It's for certain of a better covenant. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing. But Jesus, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. I don't know if you're catching the point I'm trying to make to you. But what I'm saying to you today is this. There is no way you can be lost if you give your case to Jesus. There's a court in session in heaven, the judgment seat. And we have a very powerful accuser there. Revelation 12 says he accuses us before our God day and night. The guy does not sleep. He's there to accuse us. But Jesus, he's alive forevermore. Jesus has an unchangeable priesthood. Jesus is our defense attorney. And he's defending our case pro bono. Without price, without charge. And if you think Jesus is our only mediator, our only lawyer, the Father and the Spirit, they're lawyers too. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. The Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be understood. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us that we have an advocate with the Father. And I explained to you here before, that with mean alongside. We have an advocate alongside the Father. So in the grand scheme of things, Jesus, our high priest, Jesus with the unchangeable priesthood, the Father and the Spirit, all three are defending our cases in the heavenly sanctuary. My friends, we have the top three attorneys defending our case in the court. How can we lose that case? What he called us to do is to exercise living faith in Christ our high priest, and we are safe for the judgment. Since last week and also this week, my family been praying for a friend of mine in Western Canada. And his wife is training to become the equivalent of the FBI or the CIA. She's training to become an operative for the Secret Services in Canada. And so she went to the exam 2 Thursdays ago, and they gave her a pass. But when she reviewed her records, she was off. She failed. And she went and reported it to them. They gave her a pass. She said, no, I didn't pass. I failed. And they were shocked that someone would do that. But they put a nice thing about integrity in a character file. So that was pretty good. And so we've been praying for her. Last Thursday, she went and reset that exam. She passed. Amen? And then this week, she had 3 Monday through Wednesday, we were praying for her. She passed. She trusted God and was honest. And she passed that test. Well, I want to tell you that as we are true and honest with God, as we tell him it like it is, as we ask him for grace like he gives, we too will pass the judgment exam. Amen? Amen. We will pass and we become an agent for Christ to go throughout the universe and tell of how we've been delivered. Amen? Yes, we're going to be secret agent for Jesus. Amen? Yes, he's working for us. So he said, therefore, Jesus is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him. Since he always lived to do what? Make intercession for us. Jesus intercedes on our behalf. Jesus represents us. When Jesus was appointed as our high priest, we have the guarantee that God's promises will be fulfilled. Our conscience will be cleansed from sin. Hebrews 9:14 tells us that. And we have the full assurance of faith. That's what Hebrews 10:22 tells us. We have the full assurance of salvation here and now. We don't have to wait until then to be saved. We are saved day by day, here and now. Christ is the new and living way. He has, through his sacrifice, entered heaven for us. No longer do we need a human priest to speak with God for us. Jesus is our all. Amen? There's no longer a barrier into the heavenly sanctuary. Because the Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. As our defense attorney, Jesus sits on the throne of God. He is Almighty God. He has given us a better deal, a better covenant, a better promises, all happening in a better place, the heavenly sanctuary. Jesus is our all. Jesus can never die again as God cannot die. Jesus is Almighty God. And in order to die for us, Jesus had to fold up his divine self into a little human bundle. He became our Messiah and Savior, our prophet and priest and king. Jesus has become what he was not in order to save us. Praise him then in prayer. Amen. Praise him in the heavenly sanctuary. Praise him, our guarantor of a better covenant. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ, who has now an unchangeable priesthood. Praise be to God. Living by faith in Christ our high priest. Praise Jesus in fasting. Praise him as the author and the finisher of your faith. Praise him in our midst. Praise God as he breaks some chains today. Praise him who has set you free. And praise him as he blesses you today. Praise Jesus and praise him always. Pray to Jesus, our high priest. Start praying and stop saying prayers. Pray to become godly. Never repeat another listless, lackluster prayer. Arm yourself with faith. Pray in faith, knowing who sits on the throne. In your secret prayer, said Edward M. Bound, pray for your pastor. Pray for his body, that he may be kept strong and spared many years. Pray for his soul, that he may be kept humble and holy, a burning and shining light. Pray for his ministry, that he may be abundantly blessed, that he may be anointed to preach good tidings. Let there be no secret prayer without naming him before your God. No family prayer without carrying your pastor in your heart to God. I thought that was a nice one. Amen. Pray for me. I'm praying for you. And a song says, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. Amen. We pray for one another. And the time is always right to do what is right. Amen. Pray without ceasing. Paul says it that way. So pray with urgency. Try it this week. Pray with passion. Pray with purpose. Pray with vigor. Pray with fervency. Pray specifically. Pray for exactly what you want. And while you pray, be prepared for God to say no. Amen? Amen. Pray with humility and pray for the will of God. If you believe the end of the world is near, if you believe Jesus deserves our surrendered souls, if you believe the word of God, then give yourselves totally to God. Be a person of prayer and pray for your own wretched soul. Because Romans 6 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But chapter 6 tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to stop there for today. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, God loves us with an everlasting love. And this gospel of the kingdom, this everlasting gospel of the three angels' messages, is God's final message of mercy to the world. And you and I have the noble privilege of being a part of this message. Let us then take it seriously. Let us take it prayerfully. Let us remember that we have a great high priest that sits on the throne of the universe. And as we give our cases into his hand, we shall not be lost, but we shall be saved. Amen? Amen. Let us pray together. Father and God, we thank you so much for the precious privilege to be called the children of God. We thank you for the honor to come to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We thank you so much, Lord, that Jesus, you are our living high priest in the heavenly sanctuary, and you're calling us now to exercise faith in you knowing that we have the assurance of salvation here and now, and that we are blessed in you. Lord, touch our hearts, touch our minds, and help us to have a religion that is based in the Bible. Help us to follow you, Jesus, wherever you lead. And Father, we ask that you take full control of our lives. Be with us as we journey home now. Help us, Lord, to keep the rest of the Sabbath holy, to have a great new week with you. And until we meet again, Lord, keep us living for you and walking in you, walking with you, walking by you, walking for you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.